This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to talk about being press secretary. Trump's press secretary, someone wants to know. How did Chris and Michael get here? Why are they still here? That's really the question, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the radio show. Would it be better if Biden wins? We'll talk about military movies and their accuracy. All that and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's begin. Freedom Fighter Kelly. If Trump wins the 2024 presidential election and he offers you the job of press secretary, would you accept the job? It would give you a global platform to call out communism. My fear is your hubris will not let you. His name is Keith. Chris, what does hubris mean? That's pride or something, right? That's pride. My pride. Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. I'm assuming. Well, here, let me just explain. No, I don't think. And here's why I had to answer it in such a mealy mouth way. I love what I'm doing now. And no, it's not an important job. I'm not important. I like to joke about being a huge famous celebrity, but I do radio and TV. It's not important. I do, however, believe it is doing some good for someone, and maybe not saving the country or something like that, but people get benefits from it. You email, tell me about how it's helped you with addiction or your marriage or whatever it may be. So it provides something for someone. And in my opinion, being able to have a bully pulpit like this does more good than being a press secretary for anybody, whether it be Trump or anyone else. A press secretary works exclusively for the White House, for the president, and you say the things you're told to say, and you don't say the things you're not allowed to say. I am allowed to sit here and say whatever I want right now, as you can tell. That's why the show is so offensive. Premier, I cannot believe it, has never scolded me, ever once. They've never said, Jesse, you said that on the air. Don't say it again. Jesse, we didn't like that. I never get those phone calls, ever. Text messages, nothing. They just let me go. That's what they believe in. As press secretary, even Trump's, I would have rules. I don't do very well with rules. Now, I said maybe because of this. I do love my country, and I feel an obligation to serve it. I've wanted to better it and serve it for my entire adult life. I've wanted to fight for this place that I love so much. That's why I ran for office. It's part of why I joined the Marines. It's part of why I love politics, because what do we talk about? It's a study of power. So if my president called and said, hey, Jesse, I need help, I don't know that I would be able to say no. Now, he's not going to, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. Trump's not going to make me his press secretary. There are other people in Trump's orbit who work for him, are intensely loyal to him, and that's who he should have around him. I'm not loyal to any politician. Nobody. None. Not one. None of them. They're all rental cars to me. Use them to get where you're going and dump them on the side of the road. You don't need someone like me as your press secretary. You need someone who will lay down and die for you as your press secretary. That's what you need. Dear Pitmaster, I'd love to hear a little backstory on how Chris and Michael got hired. Did they apply via a job board post? Were they friends of a friend? What did Chris think about the Jewish producer label? Was it his idea? Please enlighten us. His name is Dave. Okay, well, Chris, here's a funny story about Chris. I mean, really, just talking about Chris in general was funny to me. But what, Chris? It's fine. No, here's a funny story. So, little backstory on the radio show and how it got started. I feel like I'm talking about myself a lot. Isn't it awesome? Anyway, this is 6 years ago. My mentor, Michael Berry, he's this big nationally syndicated radio show. He does an incredible show. He's my mentor. He's the reason I'm here talking to you. He was the one pushing me, hey, You're not supposed to be selling RVs. I'm telling you, you could do media. You could do media really well. You do media. So he pushed and pushed and pushed. On top of the pushing, he started working on the big cheese at iHeart down in my area. I don't know if he would be okay with me saying his name. I think he would. His name's Eddie. I'm not going to say his last name. What, Chris? I didn't say his last name. He's a great dude, but Eddie's the one who makes decisions. Michael and Eddie, they work on getting me an hour-long evening show. I show up. It's 7 to 8 o'clock at night at the local radio station here in Houston. This is 6 years ago. I've never done a radio show of any kind. I've never done a podcast. I mean, I've done interviews from when I ran for Congress, but I've never done my own show. I've never sat here and behind a microphone and done anything. And the first, well, we'll set aside, the board op the first night was supposed to be a Democrat. Someone they knew in the studio was a hardcore Democrat. Could you imagine me working with a Democrat? It wouldn't work. For whatever reason, they called in sick. Something got shuffled around. Chris was there the very first night as the board op. Not a producer yet, a board op. Now, what is a board op? When you have a radio show, in fact, if you, all your local radio shows probably have something like this, you don't necessarily have a dedicated producer who helps you make content and cut stuff up. You just have some, like, cut. When I say cut stuff up, I'm talking about audio and important things like that. He's just running the soundboard. When do you press this button and go to commercial? When do you press this button and do that? When do you do that? You need some guy doing that so you can do your show. Chris was just the board op. Now, Chris always wanted to be a producer on a nationally syndicated show. Chris had no idea, and I had no idea when I sat down that night, that this would turn into this. But Chris, to his credit, Chris didn't just show up and press buttons. Almost immediately, Chris was invested. Chris was invested. And he's a board op. He doesn't work for me at the time. He didn't work for me at all. He works for everyone. He runs the board. He presses buttons on every show. But I'm showing up and I'm talking about something. Chris is chiming in, making suggestions. He's finding audio. If I'm talking about Joe Biden being an idiot, and we probably weren't talking about that back then. It was a different story. But he's coming up with, he's invested. He's, you know, hey, perform for the job you want, right? And he's so invested, he's helping move the show along immediately, helping make a better show for you, that when the time finally came to get syndicated and then premiere and whatnot, I told him, because Premiere had a different producer in mind, not that he was a bad guy at all, he's a great guy, very experienced, and I told him, nah, I'm bringing Chris. And they were like, okay, fine, you can have Chris. And it was no ifs, ands, or buts for me. Chris is coming. And they didn't push back on that at all. They're like, all right, if you want Chris, that's your guy, that's your guy. That's how Chris is here. We began this journey together. As far as the Jewish producer Chris thing, I don't know. I'm just really offensive. And I've called him that forever. I make fun of all my friends and their races and their religions. And really, if you can name anything about any one of my friends, I've mocked them to their face about it relentlessly. You know why? Because I'm a dude. And that's how dudes are. That's how dudes talk. I realize in this sanitized weenie society we have now, you can never say anything offensive to anybody. But I've been in locker rooms. I've been in the Marine Corps. I've been in all dude environments for most of my life. And dudes rag on each other. They'll talk about your mom, your religion, your ugly face, your feet, your everything. And that's how dudes relate to each other. And that's how you test each other. And that's why I do the show I do. And so when people email in, oh, I'm really offended about this, I'm offended about that, go pound sand. I don't give a crap if you're offended. We're not doing a show for people who get offended. Never did I want to do a show for people who get offended. That never interested me in the least. The show's not supposed to be for everybody. Michael was a few years ago. Michael, three years ago, we needed help. The show started growing way beyond what Chris and I ever thought it was going to grow, and we needed help. I needed help on the TV side. Remember, I do a TV show every night at 9 p.m. Eastern, too. I needed help, and Michael was one of these tech whiz video production guys. He's probably going to be a big shot TV producer of some kind somewhere. But that's where, so we had an interview process, and I had, you know, rules. I had rules of what I wanted and what I didn't want. And they had narrowed it down for me to three guys. And then it was time for me to step in and interview them. One, I discounted immediately. He had no manners whatsoever on the phone. He just immediately, I knew it was a bad fit. The other one, at the time of our interview, he did not answer the phone when I called. In fact, he didn't answer the phone when I called the first three times. He finally answered 10 minutes late and said, sorry, my phone was on do not disturb. Okay, you're not getting hired. Sorry, you did not invested enough at all. And then, and I had this on speakerphone, my wife was there for all these, because women are better with discernment, they just are. My wife, 30 seconds into Michael answering the phone for the phone call, she's mouthing at me in the back, too loud, too, that's the one, I like him. I'm like, will you pipe down, you're not even supposed to be on the call. So really, she was as big a part of that as anything else. And boom, there's Michael. And that's how Chris and Michael got here. We do have to hire someone else, Phyllis. We are officially looking. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you and the country and Joe Biden. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can still email us. We are live here, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Oracle, how often do you donate to political campaigns? I find the idea mostly revolting. Other than Ron Paul, I've never given a candidate money. I don't see myself doing it anytime soon. I'm very generous in giving to my church and other charities, but I don't trust politicians. What say you? All right. I have given to politicians before. It is not something I do regularly. I have told you over and over again my philosophy on politicians. Many of you love that. Many of you hate that. I do not believe in loyalty to politicians because none of them believe in loyalty to me. None of them do. They're all just rental cars. That said, when I find one I believe in, I donate. When I find a cause I believe in or a group that does great work, I donate. And I don't make a habit of this. And as you've probably noticed, I don't make a habit of asking you for that because I don't trust people either. That said, locally, it doesn't take a ton of money from you or me to change a local election. Local elections are not congressional elections or Senate elections or presidential elections. It doesn't take $500,000 to run for school board. So if you're involved in a school board race, maybe you're not running yourself, but you know someone who is, you're supporting someone, that $50 means a lot. It means a lot to that person, and I would recommend doing it. I need to do more of it, local donating. I get more a heads up on national causes, but local donating. And I'm not against donating to a politician at all when I find one that's a hardcore anti-communist, one I believe in, yes, I will give. Politicians need money, and I know that's the least popular thing in the world right now. Politicians suck anyway. We're so used to being screwed over and lied to. No one wants to give to one, and I totally get that. Plus, the economy is a complete disaster. Everyone's being squeezed. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to take the focus off of Colombia, but the economy's horrible, and it's crushing people, so you don't have a bunch of money laying around to hand over to Senator Idiot. I know that, but if you're emotionally invested in your guy winning, whoever he may be, mayor, governor, Congress, I don't care what it is, and you have the means to do so, they do need your money. We saw that. Well, I didn't realize how big it was until I started running for Congress, and understand why. We've talked about this before. If everyone was like you, hyper-informed, seeking out information, then there would be no need for a dime in politics. There really would not. I'm not talking about a hot woman. I mean like a dollar. There'd be no need for money in politics. But everyone isn't like you. Most people are not like you. Norm and Norma, they don't have any idea what they believe. Even if they have some vague idea, they need to be told. They need to be told who to vote for, why to vote for them. Why don't you vote for the other guy? They need to be told. You seek that information out. We had a local election here on Monday. I went and voted in. You had to find that. You had to know that was coming. Norm and Norma need to be told on the television set. On this day and age with social media, it's more social media advertising. When you pull up YouTube, you need to see an advertisement for Congressman Kelly. He'll protect the border. You know, that kind of thing. They need your money. If you find one you believe in, give. Hey, Jesse, the story about the older woman was delivering groceries to your house for the party really hit home for me. I listen to your show while I deliver food for Instacart in the evenings and weekends to make ends meet. With gas prices at $5, some days you barely break even. It's a thankless side hustle, but what you gonna do? Respect for you, buddy, for one, for hustling. Big time, big time. Anyway, that guy says, what's your question? My question is, wouldn't your radio show be better off if Biden wins re-election? There's so much low-hanging fruit to make fun of. If these clowns get booted out of office, you're going to have to replace half your soundboard. Well, all right, couple things. The soundboard, people who've been listening a long time, they know it's already experienced all kinds of turnover. When we get tired of something, we move on. There are some things we'll never get tired of.
Why are you gay?
But then there are other things that we've moved on from because we don't use them that much. But to your question, is it better for the show if Biden gets reelected? Probably. I don't care. This show, we were blessed to blow up on this show before there was ever a Joe Biden, before there was ever a President Biden. When Trump was still in office, this show ended up blowing up and getting big. But even if it meant the end of the radio show, man, I'll go do something else. I'm not a media guy. I haven't been doing this my whole life. I have all kinds of other stuff I'll go do. I'll go back and sell RVs. I don't care. I'll go back and work for a living. I would rather save the country than have the radio show be big. So would it be better for the show? Oh, of course. Joe Biden gets reelected. Everyone's mad. Everyone hate listens every day. Tell us what that dirty old commie's doing. Of course it would be better for the show. But man, don't get me wrong. I'm not some great person, some charitable person with a great heart. You know, I'm not Mother Teresa. I like a paycheck as much as the next man. You can take your paycheck and shove it, though, if it ruins my country. I'd rather have a country. Wouldn't you rather have a country? I'll go find something else to do. I'll drive Instacart myself. I love food. That's one of the jobs I never had when I was a kid, is delivering pizzas. Michael, Chris, did you guys ever deliver pizzas when you were a kid? Michael said, no, I wanted to, and Chris didn't. I wanted to, too, and I never got to. Oh, Michael said he was too young. You had to be 18. That's a bunch of crap. My friends were doing that at 16 when I was a kid. These daggone laws. See, this is what I'm talking about, child labor laws. You know what I should deliver is chalk. I should start a chalk delivery service and call it high tea delivery. And Chris? Listen to me. No, you're not understanding. I take a car full of male vitality stacks from Chalk and female vitality stacks. We want to be accommodating to the ladies. And I drive all over when people order them. And I deliver them myself. And when they open up the door, they look and they're like, oh my gosh, talk about high tea. And then they want to take it even more. Chalk, you understand with natural herbal supplements, you can boost your tea levels 20% in 90 days. Without sticking a needle in your arm or doing anything like that. Just nature. That's what a male vitality stack can do for you, gentlemen. Try it. I maybe double up on the Tongkat 100 every now and then, too. CHOQ.com. I might even deliver it myself. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Ladies, men, go get some, all right? All right, one more word on the pizza thing, then some politics. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Joe Biden's still out there rolling this line out.
The teaching is not what you do, it's who you are. It's who you are. No, for real, I know that. Believe me, I know that. By the way, I actually taught for a number of years in law school, and then I was a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. No, I don't got to applaud.
No, he didn't. It's an outright lie. He's never taught a class. He keeps doing this. It's wild to me. Dear Machine Gun Kelly, let's start by apologizing for using any incorrect military terminology. Recent, I've been watching a variety of World War II programs, Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers, Pacific, so on and so forth. I noticed a trend. In some, not all, of soldiers training in boot camp with their officers, drill instructors, and then being deployed with these same leaders. In movies and later wars, I don't recall that being the case. Was that ever, or is being deployed together a normal practice? His name is Eric. Look, both have happened throughout history and throughout the history of the country. When I was in, and I believe this is still very much the case today, it wasn't like that at all. There was no continuation whatsoever. In fact, you wouldn't continue. Forget the leaders and drill instructors. You really never ended up in the fleet, in the actual Marine Corps, with the guys you were in boot camp with. You went to boot camp, and you had a boot camp platoon, and you had drill instructors, and they were there to abuse you and turn you into a Marine. Once you graduate boot camp, you will then leave, and you will never see those drill instructors probably again. You will leave, and if you're in the infantry like I was, you have to go to the School of Infantry next. And when you show up at the School of Infantry, you could run into a guy or two you knew from boot camp who will be there with you, but that's very rare. Totally new guys, totally new instructors, totally new skill set. And then when you're done with SOI, School of Infantry, then you go to the fleet where you get your actual unit. And once again, your buddies are not coming with you for the most part. And your instructors are not coming with you for the most part. They have nothing to do with the leadership you'll get at your command. That said, in older days, they did do it differently. And there are many advantages and disadvantages to doing it that way. There's a lot to be said for continuing with the guys who were leading. There's a lot to be said for that. And there's also a lot to be said for guys who specialize in teaching, in boot camp, and doing certain things. You know, we talk about World War II lots, and, you know, we've talked endlessly about how you can really view the war through two different time periods as far as the Pacific version of it. Same thing in Europe, but as far as the Pacific version, end of 1941 and then 1942, certainly the first part of 42, that was Japan's. They dominated us. They were kicking us around. That was Pearl Harbor. They had better pilots, better planes. Their navy was beating up on our navy. They were taking over. They were taking things from the British, taking things from us. That was Japan. And then boom. And then by the end of 1942, things had turned, and Japan did nothing but lose the rest of the war. Don't get me wrong. There was all kinds of bloody misery still left. But they would lose battle after battle after battle after battle. And one of the ways we really, really kicked the crap out of Japan was in the air. We really dominated them in the air, which is weird because in the beginning, they were so good in the air. What happened? Well, they had a different philosophy with how to handle that than we did, and ours was very clearly superior. In Japan, if you have some super stud pilot, and let's say he goes out there and he shoots down a couple of Americans and you got an ace on your hands, the Japanese believed, well, yeah, good. Leave him there. Send him out again. Go shoot some more Americans. But the problem is nobody's Terminator. No one's indestructible. Even the best pilots, you send them out there enough times, they're going to die eventually. Outnumbered, plane malfunction. You never know what's going to go wrong. He's going to die. And then you just took your best pilot and you lost him. America realized that our best pilots could be force multipliers, meaning if I take some stud, what's that movie? Didn't they just make a movie called Midway? I watched it. I just don't remember. I think it was called Midway. It was an average movie, certainly worth watching. It's very much worth watching, and I believe it was family-friendly, so you can watch with your kids. But it gave you some accurate things about Midway. And you watch these hero pilots at Midway, and there were some stud pilots at Midway. Those guys are so crazy brave. Well, the Midway pilots, they didn't all go on and stay pilots in the fleet out there shooting down Japanese. Some did, but those super studs, we sent them back to the States. Why? It's not that we didn't want them shooting down Japanese. We understood if you take some stud with air experience, he knows what he's doing, you can just keep sending him out there, or you can send him back to America to be an instructor to teach the next generation how to do what he did. So you take your stud pilot and you turn him into 50 pilots. because you didn't leave him out there to die. You rotated him back to America, and he's back here making studs of other pilots. And some of those guys, because they were just beasts, those guys are awesome. Some of those guys would volunteer to go back. They're all right. I've been an instructor for a while. Can I go back to combat? Like, I'm ready to go kill some more Japs. That's all those guys were. They were awesome. Dear Crayon Eater, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the college campus protesters. Yeah, me too. What I want to know is, where are all the parents of these kids? Parents should be pulling them out of there by their ears. Do parents not care anymore? No, a lot of parents do not care. People who have good parents do not understand that that is the ultimate privilege in life. You know, we always talk about people born into privilege. He's privileged. They're privileged. They're born with a leg up. Here's God's honest truth. In this day and age, if you have two parents who are still together and they love you, you have the ultimate leg up on everyone else in life. Doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your religion. If you have a nuclear family that is intact, that loves you and raises you, and they'll make mistakes, believe me, parents do, I certainly do. But if you have that, you have been given an advantage over 90, 80, 90% of the population. And people who have that oftentimes do not realize how rare that is and how uniquely privileged that is. When you see some guy, you see it all the time on internet videos and whatnot, and you'll see some guy just acting like an animal. Or, you know, the college protests, those are a great thing to bring up right now. All this misery and you're pepper sprayed and protest and screaming and yelling and all these other crazy things. How many of those kids grew up with a mother and a father in the home who cared for them? Probably not very many. Probably not very many. There are people out there who have never been given the guidance you've been given, if that's what you come from. And if you've overcome that, the lack of that meaning if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now and dad left, mom left, they got divorced, and that's common. Honestly, that's probably the most common thing. And if you overcame that and became a good person, maybe even a good parent yourself, you should be very proud of yourself. Is that it's difficult to overcome that, and many simply don't. Where are the parents? They don't exist. Jesse, I completely agree with you about the possibility of VPs, Tim Scott, Tulsi Gabbard, so on and so forth. What do you think about Sarah Huckabee Sanders? She's not the most conservative person, but not bad. In addition, she knows how to work with Trump as governor. She knows how to be chief executive. I don't understand why she's not the front runner. Yeah, I like Sarah Huckabee Sanders a lot. She was certainly the best of Trump's press secretaries. She was dynamite at that job. But remember, we need great governors too. We don't just need all of our good people to assemble to be Trump's all-star team for 4 years. Yeah, we want great people around Trump. There's no question about that. We need great governors. We need great mayors. We need great people in the state house and state legislature. Be careful promoting all these people from these critically important positions just to go work for Trump for 4 years. That's not always a benefit. What is always a benefit is switching to Pure Talk. When you switch to Pure Talk, oh, by the way, Chris, yes, that's right. That's why I support Tim Scott for VP, because he's useless no matter where he is. So he might as well go be useless as VP. It's not like Trump's going to ask him anything. Just be useless. That's really his specialty. AT&T's useless. Verizon's useless. T-Mobile's useless. Pure Talk's awesome. Because Pure Talk shares our values to the point where they hire Americans who speak English. I know I sound like a mean old man when I talk like that. I'm so sick of getting a hold of customer service and I have to top the deep who doesn't understand English and I have to repeat myself 9,000 times. I can't take it anymore. Can I just have an American on the daggone phone? I can when I switch to Pure Talk and I save money. And I have the same 5G service. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, final segment on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. But don't worry, we will be back next week. Medal of Honor Monday's coming, and that's going to be good. We have a bunch of emails I need to try to get through as best I can here. Jesse, happy you signed a 3-year contract. Congrats. You're one of the few truth tellers on the air who tells it like it is. What are your thoughts on a convention of the states? Okay, let's talk about convention of the states really quickly. First, if I thought that was a possibility, I would be inclined to support such a thing. However, here's the problem with things like a convention of the states or you know, we need to ban this or ban that. What do we always talk about? What's the problem? Do we have a politician problem? No, we have a people problem. It is the people themselves of the country who are broken. They are demoralized, listless, lost. Many of them hate the place. A convention of the states sounds good, and in the end probably would be good, but it doesn't actually solve the problem. It's yet another Band-Aid. It's yet another attempt to treat the symptom instead of the disease. What can save this country is the people returning back to what we were before. People who love the country. People who believe in the law, who believe in limited government, who believe in things like border security, sound money, family, the nuclear family, maybe the most important aspect, people who return to God, people who, you could roll your eyes at any of these things, but that's how we fix the country. Without that, you could have a convention of the states every other day and have this new this and this new that, a new constitution, a new amendment, a new this. None of that will do any good unless the people themselves are fixed. Remember what John Adams said. Remember what he said about this country? The way they had it set up with the limited government? He said, this is made for a moral people and it's completely inadequate to govern any other kind. I've made people mad before when I've said this, but when I say it, you should know that I mean it, and I believe it to be true. We deserve a dictator. I don't want one. I hope we never get one. I'm not cheering for that. But when you're this lost as a people, you deserve to have a king step in and just rule over you. That's what we deserve. We are not worthy right now of freedom. Now, we can change that and become worthy of freedom, but right now, we're not worthy of it. So all the laws, all the conventions, all the amendments, all the things in the world, it won't help us if the people are broken. It's like the Constitution. You know, people think I hate it, and I don't know where people get that. I love it. I have loved it my whole life. I love the Constitution. What I've said is it doesn't exist as the law anymore. And when you act like it does, you sound ridiculous. It stops existing as the law. It stops existing as something that can protect you as soon as the people in power stop acknowledging it at all. None of these people have any use for the Constitution. They hate it. They try to destroy it. So it goes from being the supreme law of the land where your freedoms are written into law. It goes from that to being a piece of paper. It's not any more powerful than this next email. It's nothing. It's nothing tangible. It's not tangible like gold and silver are. The reason I talk to you about hard assets is because these things are not figments of anyone's imagination, and they're not subject to the whims of the people who are wrecking us. They're not. Did you hear what Terry Haynes said about Janet Yellen?
This Friday speech is being touted as the economics of democracy and meant to sound like an echo of the threats to democracy that the Biden campaign is going on all about. Whatever else you think of a senior United States policy official, they shouldn't be sent out there to mimic campaign points because that doesn't create confidence in policy and doesn't create confidence in the administration, I think.
Make sure you're buying things these people can't destroy. Call Oxford Gold Group and get some delivered to your house. Get it in your retirement. 833-995-GOLD. All right? 833-995-GOLD.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By gold, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Hello, Burger Master. If communists never willingly give up power, why did Gorbachev seemingly allow the Soviet Union to collapse? Well, remember, the dirty commies who began the Soviet Union, they were all dead by the time Gorbachev and his people came around. I'm not saying Gorbachev wasn't a commie, but he wasn't Vladimir Lenin. He wasn't Joseph Stalin. He was a guy trying to manage an empire that was collapsing all around him. And because communism doesn't work, there was just nothing he could do to save it. Countries were breaking off. The Chernobyl disaster did as much to end the Soviet Union as anything else, because internationally, everyone found out what the Soviets had worked so hard to keep quiet, that it was a broken, corrupt country that was an unmitigated disaster. So, I mean, Gorbachev wasn't Vladimir Lenin. He was the head of the Soviet Union, no question about that. But I would argue this is probably not a committed communist. He was a man just trying to get by. Hey, Jesse, I have two questions. Why do people say leader of the free world? I didn't think the whole world is free. I never did understand that. And two, why do people like Soros and the other commies get in return for the money they throw at creating chaos? Okay, leader of the free world thing. He's talking about the free world. You know, a bunch of the world went commie. A bunch of the world tried to remain free. Democracies, Western civilization, whatever you want to call it. And we were always kind of the protectors of those. We're talking Cold War era stuff and World War II. Now, what do Soros and them get? I read something fascinating about Soros recently. You know how I talk about the three characteristics all these people have in common? You remember what they are? Three things all of our leaders have in common now. No love of country. No connection to the real world, and they view themselves as kings and queens. Soros, you can go read this. I'll actually pull the article. I'll try to find it from Monday. But Soros has spoken about himself, and he referred himself as viewing himself as a god more than kings and queens. It's hard for normal people like you and me to understand the kind of mentality these people have. But they really do think they are above all of us. They view, honestly, picture the most over the top king you can possibly imagine. The guy from 300 who walks around in the or gets carried around in his throne, carried in his big gold throne, carried by a bunch of servants. You can laugh and roll your eyes, man. That's how these people see themselves. And you and me, we're just the stupid peasants who are in the way. What do they get out of this? Well, George Soros wants to see if he can burn down a country he hates. And he's doing the best he can do. Now, we are out of time. We will do it again on Monday. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Enjoy your weekend. Put your phone down. Enjoy your family. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.